If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Friday. Happy Friday to you. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppo.
And I'm Vladimir Jutier.
We're going to begin, though, with a massive winter storm that's sweeping across most of this country. We could be looking at a foot of snow today in the Midwest. Yikes. Before the system heads to the south and then to the northeast over the next 4 days. Get ready. Now, it couldn't come at a worse time if you were planning travel this Martin Luther King holiday weekend. The Weather Channel has more for us from their global headquarters. That's in Atlanta. Stephanie Abrams, good morning to you. This looks like it could be a bit of a mess.
Yes, Gail, it is going to be a mess, and it's all starting in the Midwest. We'll have it in the Midwest for our Friday into our Saturday, but it could be drought-busting snow for several cities. Places like Kansas City, we are 5 inches below average, and we are sitting in that 3 to 5 inch range, while Iowa could see 8 to 12 inches of snow when all is said and done. Now, this is going to dive into the south, where we have a surplus of snow. Places like Nashville, we're already 5 inches above average for the season, and we could add another 5 to 8 inches of snow here into central Tennessee. But it's not just the snow. It's the ice that we have to worry about as well. If you live in any of these pink areas from North Carolina, South Carolina to Georgia, I would know where your flashlights are and perhaps some extra blankets if you get power outages from that ice accumulating. What is the timing on this system? In the south, it's going to be here through the day on Sunday. Then it's going to be rolling its way into the northeast Sunday night, and also as we head into our Monday. The I-95 corridor is looking like we will see rain and snow mixed with that heaviest snow in the interior. Places like Erie, Pennsylvania, we need it. We are 40 inches below average. But look, from Boston, New York, Philly to D.C., we are going to see that lighter snow for us here along the East Coast. And Tony, of course, we'll have more from our expert team live all throughout the storm on the Weather Channel television network.
All right, Stephanie, thank you very much. Shout out to the parents stuck inside with small children all weekend. I'll be among them. Oh, man. But we do move on this morning. It has been a rough 24 hours for President Biden. Yesterday, the Supreme Court blocked his vaccine mandate for large businesses, and two senators from his own party dealt a blow to his efforts to pass voting rights legislation. Nancy Cordes is following all of it from the White House for us. Nancy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. And you know, it had been a rough week for this White House even before yesterday's news, with the U.S. setting new global records for COVID cases and inflation hitting a 40-year high. But then yesterday dealt what could be fatal blows to a pair of big Biden initiatives.
The honest to God answer is, I don't know whether we can get this done.
If President Biden sounded exasperated Thursday, it's no wonder. Setbacks came from every direction.
I know we're all frustrated as we enter this new year.
It started with voting rights. The president made his case in person on Capitol Hill, and yet two moderate Democrats remained unmoved, refusing to support a change to Senate rules that would make it easier for Democrats to pass major voting reform that Republicans oppose. Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema is one of the two Democratic holdouts.
I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country.
The next blow came from the Supreme Court, which struck down the administration's new OSHA rule requiring workers at large companies to either get vaccinated or get routinely tested. In a 6-3 decision, the court's conservative majority wrote that the OSHA rule is a significant encroachment into the lives and health of a vast number of employees. And they said COVID is not an occupational hazard in most businesses.
It's a big loss for President Biden.
Republicans cheered.
To me, the mandate was a massive overreach by the government.
We're going to have to determine what the next steps are.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked repeatedly Thursday about all the bad news.
Our effort is to do hard things, try hard things, and keep at it. We could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people. So the president's view is we're going to keep pushing for hard things.
To that end, Mr. Biden met again last night with the two Democrats blocking his agenda, and he vowed to keep fighting for voting rights despite the grim prospects.
If we missed the first time, we could come back and try it a second time.
Now, the news for the White House wasn't all terrible yesterday. The Supreme Court did uphold a new federal rule requiring vaccinations in many medical settings, and the White House was able to announce that it had already procured about 380,000 COVID tests to be distributed for free to Americans across the country. Still, Vlad, there are probably a lot of White House officials waking up this morning and saying, thank goodness it's Friday.
Tough road ahead for the president. Nancy, thank you very much as always. Appreciate it. This morning, 11 members of a far-right extremist group, the Oath Keepers, are charged with conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. The Justice Department accuses the suspects of creating a battle plan for last year's assault on the Capitol. These are, by far, the most serious charges to date in connection with the January 6th riot. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge has the story.
More than 1,000 miles from Washington, D.C., federal agents arrested Stuart Rose, the leader and founder of the Oath Keepers, at his home in Texas. The newly unsealed indictment marks the first time Rose, a former Army paratrooper, and Edward Vallejo of Arizona are charged in connection with the riots. Rose and 10 co-defendants are accused of a months-long conspiracy to oppose by force the transfer of presidential power. Thomas O'Connor was an FBI agent with the Joint Terrorism Task Force for almost 23 years.
We never brought a charge of sedition. It is extremely serious. It is the highest level.
On January 6th, prosecutors allege the Oath Keepers marched in two stack formations to breach the building. Once inside, it's alleged one team headed toward the Senate chamber, and a second team went in search of House Speaker Pelosi. Outside the Capitol, prosecutors say the Oath Keepers had a quick reaction force prepared to rapidly transport firearms and other weapons. As the violence unfolded, Rhodes allegedly expressed his frustration with the Trump administration via encrypted messaging. Pence is doing nothing as I predicted. All I see Trump doing is complaining. I see no intent by him to do anything. So the Patriots are taking it into their own hands. They've had enough.
Rose is due in a Texas court later today. A conviction could bring up to 20 years in prison. Contacted by CBS News, one of his lawyers questioned whether the indictment contains new significant evidence against his client. Gail?
All right, Catherine, thank you very much. We have breaking news overnight from Ukraine, where a hacking attack has shut down a group of government websites. The attack raises tensions between Ukraine and Russia, which has massed tanks and tens of thousands of troops along their border. We don't know who the hackers are yet or where they come from. Ukrainian troops say they're ready to defend themselves. The country's ambassador to the U.S. told our Margaret Brennan just yesterday that Ukraine expected cyber attacks before a potential invasion. Russia insists, though, it has no plans to invade.
North Korea, meanwhile, launched ballistic missiles overnight for now the third time this year. The Biden administration imposed new sanctions yesterday over this weapons program, and that was before the latest launches. North Korea's government says the missiles are a, quote, exercise of self-defense. South Korea's military, meanwhile, says the North fired two missiles toward Japan. Fortunately, they both landed in the sea.
In this country, the Department of Transportation is pushing new measures to recruit more truck drivers. The American Trucking Association says the U.S. needs another 80,000 truckers. The shortage has worsened the supply chain crisis. And first on CBS Mornings, Errol Barnett spoke with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg about this. Errol, good morning to you.
Hey there, Gail. Good morning. You know, we can thank truck drivers for moving 72% of goods throughout the country, but the industry itself is, approaching a breaking point. Driver supply is rapidly dwindling, and the turnover rate for truck drivers is extremely high. And that's why Secretary Buttigieg tells CBS News he is now making recruiting drivers and incentivizing them to stay on the job a top priority. Empty store shelves signal a supply chain in crisis, exacerbated by a shortage of truck drivers.
What is your reaction to seeing grocery store shelves bare? Were you shocked by that?
Oh, I'm very concerned about this, and it reflects the fact that as long as we go through phase after phase of this pandemic, we're seeing disruptions in supply.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg spoke to CBS News as his agency announces new efforts to bolster the number of truckers as part of the Biden administration's pledge to fix the supply chain. Announcing Thursday more than $32 million for states to improve the commercial driver's licensing process, over 100 companies committing to expand trucking apprenticeship programs, and a task force to investigate predatory truck leasing.
We've got to recruit more people into the job, and we've got to keep them there.
Drivers have been fleeing in droves, with yearly turnover hitting 90% in parts of the trucking industry.
And if the wheels aren't rolling, these guys aren't making any money.
Mickey Weaver's company connects trucking applicants with employers. Not only are there too few job seekers, he says, once they see how much time in the truck is unpaid, many quit.
I had seen a guy just this morning. He'd been sitting there for 3 to 4 hours, just sitting there, just waiting to get his truck loaded, and he's not making any money.
You're basically paying the company for the privilege of picking up a load.
Patrick Penfield is a professor of supply chain practice at Syracuse University and believes better pay structures would fix backlogs.
But until you do that, these poor truckers are kind of at the mercy of these ports and these other destinations where they have to wait.
Secretary Buttigieg says that's one idea they are studying.
We need to look at these compensation issues if we really want to solve long-term challenges in trucking in the U.S.
Now, the administration's new effort includes two studies of what's called detention time. That's what it's called when they're on the job and they're not being paid. And you have to consider that this pay-by-the-mile policy encourages truck drivers to drive extra long miles, Vlad, sometimes to the point of exhaustion. So it's a big question as to whether or not these issues can be addressed.
They sound like they need to be addressed, Arrow. Truckers are the lifeblood for all Americans. Thank you very much, as always. Appreciate it. This morning, Novak Djokovic's lawyers are defending him from a second attempt to throw him out of Australia. The tennis superstar is there to play next week's Australian Open, claiming an exemption to strict COVID vaccination laws. The country's immigration minister canceled his visa overnight, saying it was in the public interest. Now, the issue is back in court. Charlie Daggett is watching the back and forth for us. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning to you, Vlad. Yes, that emergency court hearing wrapped up just moments ago, where a judge has delayed the deportation at least until a new hearing is held on Sunday, just one day before the tournament begins. The government's decision to revoke his visa came down just hours after the Australian Open defending champion hit the courts to get in some practice. The world number one initially had his visa revoked last week because he hadn't been vaccinated, only for that to be overturned by a judge on Monday. He then confessed to breaking the rules, saying his agent gave incorrect information on his immigration form. He met with a journalist in Serbia back in December, despite having tested positive for COVID, which he called an error of judgment. Today, his lawyer said the decision to revoke his visa is based on the premise that his presence in the country could excite anti-vax sentiment. Those are their words, not that he's a risk to public health. He's been ordered to be detained from tomorrow morning until that hearing on Sunday that will determine whether he'll be able to play. So the game is still on, but at the moment, advantage Australia. Vlad?
All right, Charlie.
All right, Charlie.
Thank you so much. Yes.
Yeah, that's a nice way to stick out there, Charlie.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So what do we think the judge is going to do?
I think he's not going to let him play. I mean, wouldn't it be interesting? Can you imagine if Novak Djokovic had said, listen, I made a mistake. I broke the rules. I'm dropping out. I'll do better next time. I'm so sorry.
I can't imagine it.
No, I can't imagine either. But, Tony, just think of the message that would have sent. Because to me, some things, and I'm not Pollyanna, I want to see a good tennis game too.
Yeah.
Some things are bigger than tennis, and the message that it sends, if he's allowed to play, when he admits he broke the rules, he's walking around with people knowing that he's positive. Yeah. The answers on his form were not correct. He knows that too. It isn't right.
So the argument from the government is interesting. It's not that he's going to be a health danger. It's that he might incite anti-vax sentiment in the country.
Yeah, that's
and then he broke the rules too. They were talking about breaking in the beginning rules. That he also broke the rules.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see how it plays out.
That?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see what Australia does.
Remember
I do
thing with Serena.
I do. And Serena was wearing a cat suit during the French Open back in 2016, I believe.
Yeah.
And French tennis officials said she couldn't wear that. Remember, she was wearing it because she had suffered blood clots as of new mom.
And they said if you wear it, you cannot play.
We are going to be talking sports betting at 7:30 with Dana Jacobson. People will be placing bets on this one for sure.
Well, what do you think he's going to do? What do you think the judge?
I think they're going to let him stay.
You do?
Yeah. That was my bet.
Vlad?
I think they're probably not going to let him stay. Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out.
Stephen Colbert here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is our podcast for The Late Show with my producer, Becca. Becca, how long have you been producing this podcast?
I've been producing this podcast for 2 years now.
And your favorite thing about it?
The extended moments, for sure.
Right, because sometimes I'll interview like a big star for 25 minutes, and we can only put like 14 minutes on air. Where can people get that?
On The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert, wherever you get your podcasts.
And who produces that?
I help out. It's a team effort.